grace God come, all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Communion Sundays are always a little difficult for me because, you know, I have a problem with not finishing up on time. Yes. I've tried to go to counseling, but it doesn't work. And on Communion Sundays, I have even less time to talk about God's Word. But I think I'm okay today. I think there is a 50-50 chance we'll get done on time. I'm going to move quick. We are again in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 6, with a sermon entitled, The One Like Moses. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, again, these passages, chapter 2, therefore, it's always connecting to what we have already learned. So we've learned through chapter 1, now we're learning through chapter 2, now we begin chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, that is us. We have a heavenly calling. We're part of God's plan. We're part of the plan that God had before the foundations of the world. This should make you feel connected. It should make you feel you have meaning and purpose way beyond yourselves. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Apostle means sent one. One who is sent out by someone who has authority. And that authority of the one sending is put on the apostle, and they are sent out in the name. That's why the 12 disciples became the 12 apostles. But Christ was sent by God, so he can have the title apostle and high priest, which we will get to later in the book. Verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him? God the Father appointed Christ to come. And he was faithful. As Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one, talking about Jesus Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. And Moses was the top to the Jewish mind. He was the epitome of the prophet. But this one, Jesus, is more. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Moses was good in his house, but he didn't build the house. Christ is the creator. We've learned that. Verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And we learn Jesus is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. He definitely was. For a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. His life, Moses' life, and what he spoke was about things that were to come. Verse 6, but Christ, as a son, Moses was a servant of the Lord, Jesus as the Son of God over his own house, which he created, whose house we are, if we hold fast, it's a military term, to stand your ground, not retreat, not surrender. You're going to hold fast. the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I want to focus in the short time we have this morning. I want to focus on Moses. His testimony of Jesus Christ. Over 1400 years before Jesus was even born, Moses spoke of him and wrote about him. And Moses himself was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And remember the manuscript evidence we have from apologetics, of how we know when these books were written, and that we have manuscripts that date, Old Testament manuscripts that date back before Jesus. And these things were recorded and then fulfilled in the life of Christ. Let's go back and look at one of those. Deuteronomy 18. Moses is speaking here to the people of Israel. And he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, from the house of Israel." One was going to rise up, a prophet. It was going to be like Moses, but much greater. "Him you shall hear. And the Lord said to me, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him." So there's this foretelling of a prophet to come. And his words were going to be unique, right from the Father. And you need to listen to him. And if you didn't, it'll be required of you. You're going to be held to account for not listening to him. And the Jews from this moment, kept looking for this prophet. They were looking for this prophet to come all the way up until the days of Christ. Let's go to John 1. John the Baptist is out there doing his ministry. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" They wanted to know. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" Because Elijah was foretold to come before the Messiah. He said, "I am not." Then they asked him, "Are you the prophet?" Not a prophet, the prophet. And he answered, "No." You see, they thought the prophet, Messiah, they didn't realize it was going to be the same. But they were looking for this prophet whom they needed to listen. Verse 25. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you." Remember, the prophet was going to come from their midst. John is saying, "There is one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I'm not even worthy to loose." That's humble. Now, a few verses later in John 1, verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" Because he's God in human flesh, and God is eternal. Even though Jesus was born physically after John by 6 months, John understood who he was. So Jesus is the prophet to come. The one like Moses. So if we do a comparison of Moses and Jesus, we're going to see a lot of neat things. I don't have time to go into all of them this morning. So I only picked a handful. I said, Moses is a type of Christ. There are many types of Christ in the Old Testament. God showing them, and we've told you before, that Jesus is found from the very beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation. He's found in every book of the Bible. There are prophecies of him, but then there's also types of Christ. People conducting themselves are in their lives, or in their testimonies, their service to God. There's images of Christ. Moses is one of them. He's a type of Christ in the Old Testament, a foreshadowing of Jesus. His life was pointing to the one who would come. Like I said, too many aspects to cover this morning, but I'm going to give you a few. Let's look at one. Moses and Jesus, they were adopted sons. Exodus 2:10, we know that Moses was hidden because Pharaoh had given the command to kill all the Hebrew boys. And he was hidden, and his mom made the little basket and floated him in the river and in the reeds. And he was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought, this is Joseph and Mary, Joseph about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was the adopted father of Jesus. So they were both adopted. And they were both adopted into royalty. Moses was a child of a slave, and now he's in the Pharaoh's family. Jesus, now, he was already royalty, but when he became flesh, he was born of a poor carpenter, and just as low as you can go in society. But in the blood of Joseph, his adopted father, and his mother, Mary, was the house of David, royalty. And by bloodline, he was the king of Israel, which is why he was crucified. That was written above him on the cross, king of the Jews, which is the truth. He was killed for the truth. The next thing is, spared death as a baby. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river. Because the Israelites were becoming too many in the land of Egypt, and they were afraid of them. So the command was given to kill all the baby boys of the Hebrews. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So both escaped death as babies, both wanting to be killed by a king, Pharaoh and Herod. Moses came out of Egypt, which later Jesus would come out of Egypt after they had fled there. Gave up the prestige of a royal court. Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He could have stayed in the Pharaoh's family and enjoyed the pleasures of Egypt. But he refused that exalted position and became, again, associated with his people as slaves. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Oh, if we could all get that mindset. He was up as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all of creation adored him and worshipped him, the angels. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He left that royal position to become a servant. Both were shepherds, Moses and Jesus. Exodus 3:1 tells us, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. We see in John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Both Moses and Jesus led people out of captivity. Exodus 5:1, afterward, Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." How many of you guys remember singing that song as a kid? Pharaoh, Pharaoh. How's it go? Anybody want to do it for me? You want to do it, Brooklyn? Let's hear it. I know Wendy taught that in Treehouse for a long time. She had that song. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Yeah, they did. They did. All the kids liked it. Moses led the people out. God, of course, brought the plagues and broke Pharaoh's will and led the people out. And for the first time in 400 years, was it 300 or 400? 400, yeah, yeah, 400 years they've been there. Freedom. And they left captivity, not poor. They took the riches of Egypt with them. They took the riches of their masters with them. And they walked out, and they walked out into the wilderness. And they got to the Red Sea, and we know the story. God parted that water. Moses led his people through. Went to the other side, and their captives pursued, changed their mind, pursued them, and the waters closed in. The people were free for the first time in their lives. Jesus said this when he took the scriptures and he was reading publicly, and he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And he wasn't talking social justice here. He was talking about those who are captive to sin, captive to death, for the wages of sin is death. He was setting us free. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And when you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. He's a mediator. Both of them are mediators of a covenant. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses." Moses brought the law, Mount Sinai, the law that was instructed with the purpose of teaching us that we're sinners, to teach us that we need a Savior. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Mark 14 says, "Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant,'" which we just celebrated. Two covenants. One is the old. It still stands today. On Judgment Day, the book of Revelation, the books will be opened against those who are outside of the grace of God, who have rejected Christ, who have not heeded what he said, have not heeded the message, and taken refuge in him. The books will be opened, the people will be judged according to the law. But you can have that be the old covenant for you. And you can embrace the new covenant found in Christ. So both brought covenants. One is much better than the other. Both were rejected by their own people. People complained against Moses. They led revolts against Moses. At times they wanted to stone Moses. The people that he brought out of captivity were quite fickle. And many times they were very unkind, ungracious to the one who led them out of captivity. But John tells us this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Just like the Jews wanted to go back to Egypt and leave Moses, people here, when Jesus came, wanted to remain in the dark. They liked the darkness more than the light. One more. Passover. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. We know during the last plague of Egypt, the 10th plague, death was going to pass over and the firstborn of every family was going to die. But if you wanted to have death pass you over, you could take the lamb, a spotless lamb, and kill it. And you could take the blood and put it across over on the sides of your door. And when God saw the blood, he would pass over that house. Death would not come. It's the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be new lumps, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. You see, if you have Christ, if you're the Lamb of God, for the wages of sin is death. No, it'll pass over. The second death has no hold on you. Go back to Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. And every time you have a reference to this prophet, you see something about him, us hearing him. Him you shall hear. Apostle Peter said this in Acts chapter 3. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Christ, Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the word of his holy prophets, of all his holy prophets, since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. Jesus spoke this in John chapter 5. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. He's talking to the Pharisees. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For you believed Moses. See, they were believing in Moses, but they didn't really believe in Moses. Not what he had to say. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Remember what it said in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. God the Father gave the message. He sent the Son, the apostle, the high priest, the prophet that was going to be like Moses, but better. He gave Jesus the message, the teachings, the very words, as Moses said, and Jesus confirmed. John 12. Verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. He was the prophet to come. the one like Moses. Every person on the face of the planet who's ever existed is accountable to God. And God has been preaching the truth since the very beginning, starting in Genesis chapter 3. Everyone must deal with the message of Christ. You have to deal with it. You can't ignore it, and you can to your doom. We're all accountable to the message. We're all accountable to the words of Christ. We're accountable to Him. People can ignore it, act like it's not there. They can reject it. They're still going to stand judgment. And the Word is going to judge them. I pray that no one in here is going to be judged by the Word of God. I pray that you all have truly repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ and been born again. Because you must be born again. So I pray everyone in here has. But we all know people who have not. We all know people who are not born again. And they may believe in Jesus, but it's their own version of Jesus. It's a Jesus or a God that they've created that's okay with their sin, okay with their lifestyle, okay with their disobedience of being a disciple and sanctification of just religion. They create a religious Jesus. But it's not the one. It's not the prophet. It's not the priest. It's not the one the Bible gives us. The one the Bible reveals to us. If you reject the biblical Jesus, if you reject the biblical message, you not only reject the one who was sent to save you, but you reject God Himself. You reject the Father. And remember, He backed up His message with His life. Isaiah 53:4. Come on up, team. Isaiah 53:4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He backed up the message with His life. And then with the resurrection. This is not a message we need to ignore. But most of the world is going to, Saturday, the Passover, it's not even going to register with them. What it means, the historical moment when it first happened compared to what Jesus is our Passover. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, not going to register with most. Good Friday, it's going to escape them. And Resurrection Sunday, Easter, will be more about a rabbit than the risen Messiah. There is a great need for us to be a church, to be His people here. And it's getting harder to be a faithful church. And it's a lot of things are stacked against us. But one thing we have, well, there's many, but we have the One. He is with us. He is behind us. He is to our side. And He goes before us. Let us walk with Him. Let us see the fascinating history we're a part of. See just the beauty of everything God does. Now let's find our place. Let's be serious. Stop being mesmerized by the things in this world. And let us be mesmerized by what God has done and said. Let us be His people. Stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. We're about to sing that. And I want you to listen to every verse. These words, listen to them as you sing. Listen to how much in this song is what we've learned in the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews. Listen to the power of these old verses. They should move your heart. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up and we'll sing. Father, whoever puts their faith in you and there establishes their life on you, that firm foundation, they will not be confounded in this life. But Lord, we've all walked that. We've all spent time somewhere where we did not value you. We did not value your sacrifice for us. And our sin, we held it lightly. We didn't think it was any real big deal. It didn't convict us. It didn't shame us. For many of us, we reveled in our sin. It is what and who we were. But by your grace, Lord, you have bestowed upon us the truth. The message of Jesus Christ came to us. And we realize that our sin is so severe. And it caused the death of Jesus Christ for our sin. So, Lord, I pray that you help us as those who are true believers, that we will never, ever hold our sin as if it's nothing important. It is huge. It is terrible. And it caused you to go to the cross and die. So, Lord, I ask you to help us come out of here with a better understanding of who you are, of what Moses talked about, of the scriptures pointing to you. Let us go out of here seeing a bigger picture of your whole plan and how beautifully you bring things together. And let us realize we are a part of something much bigger than ourselves. And let us remember and hopefully realize each day you deserve our very best. You deserve us to live for you and honor you. I ask you to help us go do that, Lord, as your church, as your people, as those you have redeemed by your blood and given us hope, hope eternal. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, we are his church. We are Team Jesus. We are the team on the field. There's a lot of false teams out there, but we're a good team. We're a solid team. We may be small, but we're good. We can do some damage to the enemy. So let's go be his church. The few, the loved, the redeemed. Let's break out here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.